podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, welcome to Full Time Reds. It's me, Chris Brack, and Kev O'Sullivan. We're more than happy.
Come on!
Liverpool win. We keep ourselves in the title hunts, and we just keep going, mate. And Kev, have you stopped flapping now?
Nope. I'm buzzing now. I am absolutely... Who needs Red Bull? I am absolutely on one there. What a win that was! What a game! That was just into win, man. That was just a cracking game of football. Oh, I am buzzing on the back of that. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, you guys in the chat, you tell me how your nerves are going into the last 20 minutes of that when you started seeing Danny Ings making those runs. I was proper squeaky bum time, I tell you. I was bricking it. I just thought, what a game. What a game.
I tell you, though, you do find out who the doom mongers are at times, don't you? Jesus
you do.
Christ. So many were predicting the death of this team, which they've been predicting most of the bloody season. So,
I mean, we were chatting all through that game, and I tell you what, that was the most in it game that I've watched from us, end to end, all action, aggression. It was proper football. I really thoroughly enjoyed that. Luke O'Shea, mate, I'm with you, mate, touching cloth. It was one of those. Yeah, Pat Flannery saying that John Moss is shite. Isn't he retired?
He was equally shite. He was shite, and I think a lot of it went our way.
Yeah, he was equally shite. Yeah, it was shite for both sides. But yeah, we got away with a fair bit in that.
But as Nora I call him, his nickname is Chippy Tits because he just looks like a fat fella running for the chippy. I would know.
Less about fat fellas, the better. All right.
Yeah, but the difference is, Kev, me and you aren't getting paid 90 grand a week to run around refereeing a game. He is. He's fucking terrible.
You got a point there. In other news, Joel Matip now is equal to Jack Grealish in Premier League goals this season and cost £100 million less. Top man is our Joel Matip.
Yeah, so let's start from the beginning then. Lineups. What did you think? five changes. We had Ali in goal, Trent, Matip came in for Konate. No real surprise there.
Yeah.
Van Dijk, Tsimikas at left back, and Robbo not even in the squad. So I would say it was just a rest.
Yeah.
Fab at the DM with Jones and Keita. So give Henderson and Thiago rest. And then up front, we had Diaz on the right, Mane through the middle, and Jota on the left. So Salah got a breather as well. So you were like, I looked at it. I was all right with it, thinking you rightly called it, saying it's just a midfield balance. Will it be too exposed?
Yeah.
And the first 3 minutes, we probably saw that a little bit too. I was probably Villa, to the credit, came out and hit us hard.
Yeah, I looked at that Villa side, that 4-3-1-2 with Coutinho on the free roll. I think that's their strongest 11 for me. And Gerrard in his pre-match interview said that he'd rested Coutinho for this game. And if you're one of those people, and I am, you know, I've got a real thing about players going back to their old clubs and doing something. We've seen it enough over the years where, you know, we've signed players, they go back to their old club and they score, they get assists, they play out of their skin. So I can understand the reasoning behind that. But yeah, Villa came right at us right from the off. I mean, the starting 11, I looked at it and I thought there's a risk there. But it's totally understandable because they're not machines. And
you have to rotate.
And we've rotated them all the way through. So it was the right call. You know, and I absolutely trust Klopp in his selections. I thought Curtis Jones looked sharp in the minutes that he had before I think he made a sub appearance there not long ago and he looked okay. Dan Bailey asking there, any believe we didn't rest Fabinho? No,
I think a lot of people are saying, well, that's Fabinho injuries come because we never rest him. Well, he didn't play against Newcastle, he rested against Newcastle, and he's been took off quite a lot in five sub games. In five sub games, he quite often gets took off for the last 25 minutes. That's how you rest him. It's one of them. It happens.
Look, I mean, it is. We said it in the game. And it's like, it's you're going to get muscle injuries at this end of the season, irrespective, no matter what you do. And you could, with the best will in the world, none of us are Mystic Meg, and we can't see the future. I don't believe in hindsight and whataboutery. So, I mean, Kevin Balder, surely resting Fabinho should have been the priority tonight. Hopefully, the injury isn't too bad. I completely disagree, because the 3 points was the priority tonight. And Fabinho in the six, if you're not going to play Henderson and you are going to play Curtis, you need your best six. He is our best six. So it's one of those. You're damned if you do and damned if you don't, because if he doesn't get injured and he sells through the game, it's not a talking issue. It's one of those. Patsy, I don't think it was an impact injury. I saw him a replay of him touch grabbing for his hamstring. So I think, it's 18 days to the Champions League final. So
you
got to hope. You've
got to hope he's done that. You got to hope he's done a Milner, because Milner's done this before, hasn't he? Where he's gone off, you went hamstring, well, that's Milner done for a few weeks then, and he plays the next week, and you go,
and then when he speaks to tightness,
Klopp, he goes, he felt the tightness and he sat down because he caught it early. So, you know, you hope that. I mean, look, I'll be amazed if he's even in anywhere near the squad, which is a blow for the week. Well, it's quick
sort
of the weekend.
It's a blow for him as well.
It's a blow for him, because cut fat. It's a blow for us because he's very, very good. He's what you need in those sort of big games. And God forbid, but it could happen. If he goes to penalties again, because let's be honest, all our games with Chelsea have been tight. He's one of our best penalty takers. Yeah, it is a blow. But
it's
look,
it's catch 22, isn't it?
That's why you have the squad. So, you know, William Henry saying, Hendo, Thiago, and Naby for Sat. Probably. Which still gives you lots of options. You know, so...
It's one of those. I mean, look, I'd be honest. I thought while Thiago was on the pitch, and I'll be fair, Villa were really good in that opening 15 minutes.
Mm.
You know, they got the goal, and it was okay. Let's address it at the start. Watkins was offside in the original play, they didn't flag it. The ball got recycled, the cross came in. You had a player falling over, you had chaos in the box, ball ends up going in. It's not offside.
No, because the annoyance with the rule is, and I get why people get annoyed, is if Alisson lets the Watkins shot go in, which no keeper's going to, he gets the offside. But I think, I'm trying to find, who's the chap from ESPN who does VAR stuff really
good? Dale ESPN, I think, ESPN Dale.
He mentioned this, and he basically said there's a lot of similarities to a goal Liverpool got. There you go. This just so happened to be Naby Keita's goal for Liverpool at Southampton. Lots of similarities at the Villa goal. Salah's offside 39 seconds into it. So what they're saying is, and I think we've had this in the past.
Yeah,
is,
we've had this out before.
It was too far back in the play. But ultimately, whether he's on or he's off, Matip and Tsimikas are really poor. Marking him.
Yeah.
If you're being hypercritical, Ali saves it, but arguably, should he push it wider? Maybe, but I think that's being hypercritical. I do think
Tsimikas doesn't see header at it.
I think Tsimikas and Matip between them should deal with it. And it was, look, you were thinking, fucking after the draw, which deflated a lot of us. And look, I'll admit, it deflated me. You're like, I could do without this. The reaction was perfect. I think they said 1 minute and 20 seconds later, bang, 1-1. And it was probably the scruffiest goal we've scored all season, but I think it's what you needed. It was just a decent bowling by Trent. And the one thing Jota does is he just keeps stuff alive. Van Dijk does well, gets it across. And then our favourite man ever, Joel Matip. I mean, he's got to love Joel Matip when he scores. I love Joel Matip every time.
I think the first two goals are reflective of the type of game it was. It was scruffy. It was end to end. It was aggressive and in your face, you know. And we rode our luck at times. They rode their luck at times as well. I mean, at the end of the day, the goal, it was 1-1. And I thought from then until when Fabinho went off, Villa were able to get at us. We were too open in midfield. The four-man midfield for Villa created so many overloads around Fabinho that he didn't know whether to stick or twist. Naby and Curtis weren't doing enough defensively to hold their shape, and they were just swarming around Fabinho. He never, it's rare you see him look as edgy on the ball as yeah, he was.
I mean, Ali didn't help him, like, with
he tried to
pass one straight to Watkins, and then 2 minutes later, he gave him a hospital pass with three players on him. You're like, oh, could have done about that. Now, what we don't know is we can all do this in hindsight. We're not in Klopp's team talk. Is you don't know if Klopp's told Naby and Jones push high to really push them back to scare Villa off, and there's two teams on the pitch, and that was our tactic. Theirs was flood the midfield and get it into those pockets for Coutinho.
Yeah.
You know, their tactics worked early on. As the game wore on, not so much.
I think the injury happened, the substitution was made, and Henderson brought a bit of order to the chaos.
He did, actually, because before the injury, Ings had a decent chance, but pretty wide. Naby Keita, bless him, it's a schoolboy swing and a miss, wasn't it? Which is a shame, because it's a really good build-up. And I'm not digging Naby out, because I actually thought Naby played pretty well today.
Yeah, he did. He was,
you know, the shocking miss aside, I thought in general he actually did all right for us. But yeah, I did think Henderson, when he came on, I agree with you, brought a bit of order and bits that I think, to be honest, because he's a bit more vocal, I think he bollocked a few of them to get tighter with me.
Yeah.
We see this out. And then you realise when they sat a bit deeper, that's the best I've seen Luis Diaz play on the right. Because you and me have both said, he's awesome on the left. That's his position.
Yeah, that's his position. But
on the right, I mean, look, you know, Dina tries to leave a few things on him and he got up a bit. Because the first time he rolled, even like, well, he doesn't do this. But at first, he does get a whack in the face, you know, proper arm in the face. You're thinking, right, okay. But he was impacting things. You know, he's looking not to get probably more than one assist. I think it's always the way the front three at the moment is two play really well. There's always an odd one out. And unfortunately, it was Jota today. But then some of his other interplay was really good because he's heavily involved in the goal. But he's not.
I tell you what, the goal that was the offside goal, the one that we scored that was offside. What a goal that would have been. I know he was offside.
Miles off. But it would have been. I mean, we can flick it the other way. He was freaking three yards off. So it's right.
I know, yeah.
That Danny Ings finish. And I'll be honest, Ali doesn't know that's offside either. That is an absolute bullet.
But you could tell that one at the very end because Ings just flicked it up, let it bounce, and whack.
Yeah.
You know, but that one where Emi Martinez comes balling out and Diaz just flicks it to the side, that was just an outstanding goal. I wish he was onside for that. I really, really... That was just a proper goal, that was. But, yeah. I mean, we get it to 1-1. It's halftime at 1-1. What were you expecting? Were you expecting changes or...?
I wasn't expecting changes because Klopp doesn't tend to do halftime changes. And also, I think if Fabinho had played the full first half and it was still 1-1, you might have seen a change then. But I think because you've already got the one sub, it's like the Rafa saying is... you don't want to throw another one because you're almost like you're throwing your mortgage out too quickly. As in, like, you really limit your options. And I do think that's why the last 10 minutes sometimes felt like a bit of a grind because Klopp loves that sub in the last 10, 15 minutes. And it's normally, he would have loved the last 10 minutes to throw Fabinho on. A Firmino on. Or James Milner. Milner is just to kick people and break up play. Or Firmino just to do what he does, which is hold play up, almost be an extra midfielder and just pick passes out to Mo. So that hamstrung us a little bit. So I think I just want to see a bit more intensity. And to be fair to Liverpool, the opening 15, we played an awful lot better. Interplay was better. The only concern I said to you in the opening 15 was on the break, Villa looked really good. I think we saw one thing with Coutinho where he megs Van Dijk, but it seems what happens with all fours. They meg Van Dijk and then they fall over because they're like, oh shit, I've got past them and I think they panic.
I honestly think that Danny Ings tonight led the line really well. He was timing his runs really well.
Him and Watkins. One thing Watkins did, Van Dijk and Matip never had an easy header. They had to work and they handled it. I actually thought they handled him well. But I just said to you, when he went off injured, I was like, he was the biggest nuisance. He's one of the biggest nuisances going off the pitch.
Yeah.
I think that took a little bit away from Danny Ings then, because I think that allowed Danny Ings to, you know, get involved in the game more. But
someone in the chat there was asking about Naby. Did he see any forward passes from Naby in the opponents in Villa's half of the pitch? It piqued my interest, so I just went and had a quick check. Naby's passing today was 36 out of 44 completed, okay? What Naby did tonight really well was carry the ball forward. He had six out of eight dribbles completed. He carried the ball through the lines and into midfield. I was quietly impressed with how Naby played once Henderson came on. Mm-hmm. I thought he was much better. He got all of his tackles. He won 9 of his 12 ground duels. The only thing, he was beaten in the air for every aerial challenge he made. He's only two shots as well.
He's only about 5 foot five, though, isn't he?
Exactly, yeah. And then, but I think he just had one of those games, you know. It was it was almost like, I mean, for me, the midfield was the Fabinho midfield and the Henderson midfield. It was two different games, but make no mistake, once we went 2-1 up, Villa threw hammer and tongs at it, and they really went for it. And if they'd have got something out of it, we wouldn't be arguing, genuinely, because it was one of those games that if they'd have got a second goal, I wouldn't have been complaining too hard. I really wouldn't, because Alisson worked tonight.
He did.
Made some great saves. That one-on-one saves with Danny Ings when he allowed Ings to take the touch into him, and then he sprung. He held his position. He waited and waited and waited. And then when Ings took the touch, he sprung. And he was just like a leopard. He was straight out there and bang, smothered it. One-on-one, man. That guy is insane.
And the save from Ings at the angle, where what he didn't probably do for the first goal is he palmed it high and wide. So I think it was Traore coming in or... I can't remember the Villa player going in. When you saw the third, you thought it's going to be a palm into the Villa player going in. We've seen that.
Yeah.
We've all seen that goal. We've Liverpool scored loads like that. Mm. So the distance he got, he went perfect. But we had our chances. You know, Trent's first free kick was a decent one. It was closed. I do think it's the one thing Liverpool are still lacking is a consistent free kick taker. From if we have a free kick 20 yards from goal, 25 yards from goal.
Yeah. Someone to work the keeper.
Yeah, I'm not looking going, it's like, well, it might work or it might not. Or I'm always thinking, what clever free kick, are we going to chip it over? That's probably the one part of, I would say that's the only thing with Coutinho I think we haven't properly replaced is a consistent. I mean, the one I'm surprised doesn't take him is Thiago. He can take them. You know, I'm surprised.
Never seen him do it. Storm Thomas, they're saying it. Laura was on about, it was almost as if five subs would have been used and it bloody would have. Norman Stone's about it. Storm Thomas there, VVD recovered well when he got nutmegged. Yeah, he did. Coutinho got that little, I don't know if it was a lucky touch, but he worked out space through. He got past Virgil, and Virgil was, he looked up as almost disdain. Like, come here to me now, you. And he's just like three strides and he was up with him and passed it.
Yeah.
It was mental. But
what did you think of Coutinho today? I was very underwhelmed.
No, do you know what he was? That was Phil. That is Phil Coutinho. He drifts in and out of games. He's capable of the brilliant, but he does drift in and out of games. He is a luxury player. And he needed the three in midfield behind him to work for him. You know, Mukamba, McGinn.
But I think that's
Douglas Luiz.
But I think that's the big difference when you look at Liverpool, you look at City, you know, the luxury player isn't carried. The luxury player works their arse off. Look, people will come up to me with Salah. He still works his arse off. You know, he may not be in the greatest of form, as some would like, but he runs his bollocks off. And when he came on, he ran his bollocks off. And that's what you wanted him to do. So let's talk about the goal then. So Thiago comes off for Jones. I think it's a good 60 for him. Again, he's only 21. It's good experience for him. But you bring on Thiago, and I think it's his flick out to Diaz. It's a great ball and it's a brilliant header. You know.
Okay, I think the header made the cross. I thought it was a poor cross.
Because behind him.
It was behind him. It was low. It was almost a cross for a volley. I thought it was a really poor cross.
Just to give you a update, there's a reporter here. Someone tweeted a report saying, talk to Sadio Mane, saying, you're just watching your goal back over my shoulder, aren't you? And Sadio Mane went, yeah, very good goal that, by the way, and then walked off.
I thought it was an outstanding header. The because that's one of those headers that you don't think. That's instinct. You know, that glancing header from... And look, I thought Diaz did well to get the cross in early, but that was a poor cross. But the cross was made outstanding by the technical ability of Sadio Mane to finish that header. It was an outstanding goal. It was absolutely brilliant. And it needed that. We deserved that because from the time Henderson came on, there was a stat there in the second that they flashed up in the second half. From the 30th minute on, I think we had 70% possession and we were dominating the ball without being overly threatening. You know, we were limiting them to counterattacks and to, you know, breakaways and trying to hit one over the top or whatever. So we were dominating the ball. And once we got 2-1 up, it was like a switch flick with Villa. Gerrard made changes and it was shit or burst time for them. The illusion that, you know, Stevie G is going to do us a favor and all that, and we're going to smack him and, you know, get our goal difference back. Will you go away? That's, you know, Steven Gerrard did the absolute best he possibly could for Aston Villa tonight, a proper professional performance by Villa. And I was not expecting anything less. But once we went 2-1 up, we said it just before we came on air, Virgil and Joel Matip had that calmness and reassuredness about them that I thought, as nervous as I was, I thought Villa are going to have to time a run absolutely perfectly, which they were capable of.
Yeah.
Or it would be a lucky deflection into someone's path. And that can always happen. I wanted the reassurance of the third goal. It just never came. But it wasn't from our looking for one. There were times in those games where I was looking to think, you know, hold the ball, look for the corners, you know, kill the game off. And it wasn't until it got to about the last 5 minutes that started. You know, we killed the game. And I think we managed the last... You know, to John Moss injury time, the 4 minutes plus the extra 2 minutes that he gave.
He's fucking useless.
I was worried about Naby because I know Naby, it looked like he got one in the short and curlies. But I honestly looked at that and I thought, I wonder if he slipped there. And I thought he looked like he'd tweaked the groin or something.
Well, hopefully it's a tweak. You've got 4 days, which means that he'll probably...
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me. I know what they were portraying on camera or on Sky was that he took one in the short and curlies. I don't think it was. I think he might have tweaked the groin.
Well, Neil Jones is reporting on Fabinho injury. He felt something, which is a big blow for us. I don't know. Hopefully not as bad as, but we don't know yet.
Yeah, so that's going to be a scan. He's definitely going to miss the cup final. And until we notice, until we get the scan, it's guesswork and nobody knows.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so Chris Gold in there, he got a proper knee in the nuts. Right. Yeah, look.
That's what I mean. It could just be.
It could have been something like that.
All those gents have at some point had a whack down there,
that's,
to be honest.
That's one of those ones that 30 seconds later...
You feel like, it later.
Is it going to hurt? Is it going to hurt? Yep, yeah. It's going to hurt. Yep.
But that was also, you know, because... But the interesting thing about it was Klopp wouldn't send the physical second time around. No, you stay there.
Yeah.
Get up.
Yeah.
The way he went, get up, and Naby just sort of... He bounced up quite quickly. So it's a bit like, we're not doing that game.
Hopefully it's something in the thing.
Yeah, I hope so. There you go. So more Klopp. He felt a muscle, not too much. He's quite positive, but I'm not sure what to make of it. We'll see. Yeah, I mean, the only thing I would say about Fabinho, and you and me both commented when we were chatting to each other, is he didn't go straight down the tunnel, and he wasn't sat there with like ice packs on his hamstrings and, you know, treated up, because we've all seen when someone gets a hamstring injury or a proper bad one, they're either tucked down the tunnel or they're wrapped in ice as soon as they go, as soon as they move.
Yeah.
You know, and he wasn't really. So maybe, like you said, maybe you just felt the twinge and they're all under the instruction. Unless it's a cup final, you feel a twinge, you just lie down and don't risk it. That's wishful thinking. We will see. I'll be amazed if he makes the weekend.
Yeah, look, we'll find out soon enough. I mean, hopefully I think Fab looked like he wanted to stay on, and hopefully it's not too bad. Looked like Klopp said, F right, F that, get off. Yeah. You know what, Emmett, you're spot on, sunshine. It was it was one of those that I thought, yeah. But to be fair, the subs, when Fabinho went off, the game changed. Or everything changed around it. So maybe it was a case that you had Henderson looking on from the side, could see what needed to be done. And when he got on, he was able to engineer the midfield. And for the rest of that half, Curtis came alive. He was getting on the ball more. He was running at people, committing players. Tsimikas was going more on the outside. It was, we looked more organized and more comfortable on the ball. So,
yeah.
No.
So far, social media, there doesn't seem to be any mention of Keita. So, like you said, hopefully, maybe
it's Wood. It's probably just me. It's probably just me.
But it's Leaders Cup final. I mean, it's what you don't want. And, you know, this game comes up. It's just a pain. But you know, the games are going to come when they come. I mean, Klopp did say, and he's right, we've now got Wednesday. We're not playing until Saturday. So we've got Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we've got 3 days break. Chelsea have only got two because they've got Leeds tomorrow. Admittedly, Leeds are atrocious. And I don't think they'll take a lot of energy. But still, Chelsea have to be honest in that game, because if they drop points in that game, the gap between them and Arsenal is only three. Last thing Chelsea wants to be doing is getting dragged into one of those top four battles. They could not be arsed with it. So we will see. But look, the good thing now is, mate, we put the lead to bed for until next Tuesday, and we can concentrate on now.
Yeah. I mean, our look, second I cup think final the season. The days of us training midweek, you know, training after games and training sessions, they've been gone for a while. You know, I don't think the lads have had a training session in anger in a good few weeks now, maybe a couple of months. And it's literally recovery, you know, day off, recovery sessions, tactical sessions, you know, tweaks to set piece routines maybe, but that's about it. It's going to be a case of go and get your cup final suits. Do they do cup final suits still? Is that still a thing? Please God, they don't walk up with white suits on again, man. You can't do the cream suits or whatever it was. That was
these days, though. They all just come with the club trackies, don't they?
That just, you know, the beauty about this. This is going to be the first time, I think.
Oh, here we go. The gap is 1 point now.
But this is going to be the first time, I think, that you're going to see Klopp and Thomas Tuchel, anyway. But Jurgen Klopp leading the side out.
Yeah.
He does it. He never does it. He's always the last one out. So for the FA Cup final, the managers lead the players out. It's, you know, all of that we got to look forward to on Saturday. I'm buzzing for it now. You know, I'm not really into this cup final. You know, the FA Cup. I prefer the League Cup for different reasons. You know, I've been upfront and honest about that for as long as I've been around on and around this podcast. I do prefer the League Cup because I like seeing the squad early in the season.
Mm.
Once you're in the cup final, you just want to win it. You know, I want to be watching midday, 1 o'clock, whenever the build up starts. I'll be sat in my perch watching it, man. I can't wait. Looking forward to it.
So to be honest, Kev, though, so when it was 1-0 for that minute and a half, were you worried? Did you think everything had vanished?
I would have been more worried if I was
you're
more
not
help, worried.
You're not helping the plug here, Kev.
I was worried. I'd be more worried if we were 1-0 to Spurs than I thought would vanish.
Yeah, but some like almost IP vanish.
Almost an IP vanish.
Oh, yeah. Almost an IP vanish. There we go. Shameless link there shameless for us. So our sponsors are still IP vanish. Did you know browsing online using Incognito does not actually protect your privacy? That's correct. No. Without security, you're giving away all your private data. So for those who don't know by now, IP vanish is a VPN, and it keeps you truly private and secure on the internet. So basically, all your data is 100% encrypted. So that means everything from your private data, your passwords, your search history, it's kept out of prying eyes. And you can use this on unlimited apps. So you can use it on your phone, on your computer, on your tablet, and you can use it on streaming devices such as your Fire Sticks, home, or when you're out and about. And IPVanish are giving Triple listers 70% off their yearly plans with 30-day money back guarantee. So basically getting 9 months for free. And these guys are rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So if you want to pick up the offer, go to ipvanish.com/daytrippers for the exclusive offer. All details are in the description below. There we go. Have I upset? Who have I upset them? Oh, no. God, Vanish. No.
Chris Goody says, I should be doing the IP Vanish and the car cax and buy. So you need to go on, there now, right? You need to buy IP Vanish at 70% off and you'll get a decent discount. You can't go wrong, boy.
Rusty, Jesus, Kev, just say yes. Chris has set you up, set himself up. I know. You're like Mo Salah, mate. You won't pass it back to me. What's wrong with you? I'm joking. It's an easy joke, sorry. But listen, mate, look, I'm made up with that. Wind's out the way, all done. We've done our bit.
It's over to Villa now. Or sorry, it's over to City now. I mean, this league
They've got Wolves tomorrow, aren't they? We've got a few injuries.
I mean, they got issues, man. You know, they got a manager who's tested positive for COVID, so he ain't gonna be there. They've suggestions that there may be a COVID issue in the club. But this league has a habit of kicking you in the nuts when you don't expect it. And we've done our bit. That's all we can do. All we can do is keep them honest until the end of the season and we end where we end. It's up to them now. You know, they have to go and do their jobs. If they go and do their jobs, then there's nothing we can do about the league.
Exactly, you know, yeah.
It's been out of our hands since the Etihad. It's been out of our hands since we drew it the Etihad. And we've done our bit ever since.
Quick one. Chris, how are you feeling about 5 players departing from the women's team? It is sad to see players leave. But that number of players leaving has been sort of muted by the manager probably since promotion was guaranteed. So the players who've left, most of it is contracts ending. So Jay Bailey's been with the club 3 years. Contracts ended. Forced for Jade the switch in formation to 5-2-3. You need one midfielder less, so that's unfortunate. Michaela Moore is actually a really good centre-back. She's just unfortunate that Liverpool have so many centre-backs she can't get a game. It's a shame because she's a really good centre-back. I've met her a few times, lovely person as well. The big blow is Charlotte Wardlaw, who was brilliant for us as right wing back. She's on loan from Chelsea. So a loan's ended, and unfortunately because a loan's ended, we can't... I don't know, we'll try and get her back, but the issue you've got is we all know the issue with Chelsea at the moment with their transfer policy and that affects
all teams. We've seen that today with Rudiger confirmed more or less now to Madrid. But look, tomorrow night is a midweek fix, right? And I'm sure tomorrow night they'll discuss all of the stuff that's happened today with transfers and all the clubs and what have you. There's no, we're not going to go into the Haaland stuff. We're not going to go into Rudiger and all that kind of stuff.
What was he saying? I heard you think about it.
Doesn't matter to us, to be honest. We'll go in, we'll do our thing no matter what. Yeah. I mean, all we're doing this season now is every goal we score, we're just adding to our, you know, club record. You know, this make no mistake, for all of the people who are calling for signings and we're going to do this, that and the other in the summer, this is a record-breaking team. It's an astonishing team, and it's only going to get better for us. I don't care what anyone else does.
Got to be honest, though.
Let them do them.
Luis Diaz, though, he's got to be up there now for one of our best attacking January signings. And listen, we signed Luis Suarez in January as well. But it's a brilliant impact. I mean, Virgil van Dijk made a fabulous impact in a different way. So do you know, in the summer, Kev, we probably should do a show on that.
I tell you what, I think
our Jan signings. There's been some interesting ones.
Yeah, I think Lewis, I think there's so much more to come from him. I don't think we've seen anything remotely close to his capabilities in front of goal. He's a creator. I think he's got the confidence to take players on. He reads situations really well. But I think that, you know, next season we'll see the goal threat. I think he'll rack up goals next season when he gets more in tune with Klopp and the tactics and the way we're going to evolve this team. You know, but as of tonight, look, massive 3 points away from home. Villa were very good tonight. I was very impressed. I was very impressed with how aggressive they were. Like I said, John Moss let an awful lot go. Thankfully, no serious injuries other than Fabinho, which I don't think was an impact one. That's just one of those things. But
well, I think Klopp's quite said he felt something, so we know it's not.
Yeah, so we know it's not impact. Yeah, David there saying Curtis was fantastic today. Naby should have went instead for some. I don't agree with that. I think Curtis was good. I think Naby gives you something that Curtis doesn't. Is if we needed to go in midfield to a two-man midfield at any point, I think Klopp would have trusted Naby and Hendo to play that two-man midfield if he had to make an attacking substitution. I think that's why he went with Curtis coming off over Naby.
There's quite a few asking in the chat, Kev, so we'll have to address it. We have similar views on this. Curtis Jones.
Mm.
The absolute shit he's taking at the moment online from... Listen, I'm not saying... And you can do what you want. You know, you're not going to sum that off the internet. If you don't rate a player, you don't rate a player. But there just seems to be this constant need that someone has to be blamed for everything. Someone has to be the shit player that everyone hates on. And it's Jones. You know, Henderson had it for years. It's died off a little bit before that. You know, we've had other players like, you know, Danny Murphy or whoever you want to pick. They get blamed.
We've had it with Nico Williams.
And Nico Williams.
Look at what happened. Yeah. Look what happened with the kid. You know,
I thought he's my only criticism of Curtis Jones today, and you and me were talking about it, so there's no secrets here. I feel at times he's been a bit too safe, but then I start to wonder, is he playing under instruction? Now, I'm not saying he's not Gini Wijnaldum, but to do what the Gini role, which is your job is just to recycle it, keep it going, and we get it out to the front three when we do, but your job is just to keep it going. I don't know, I just don't know what people expect. He's 21. You know, not every 21-year-old turns out to be Phil Foden. And also, he may never be a regular star for Liverpool. He may just be a very, very good squad option. You know, give example, Nicky Butt. He never gets into any Man United all-time 11s. But you ask Ferguson, you ask Keane, you know, he was crucial for them, but he just got dropped in certain games, did his job and then got took out.
Yeah. You know, amount of times you hear Gary Neville talk about Park Ji-sung.
Yeah, yeah.
They were, you know, not Rooney, Tevez, Ronaldo, they're talking about Ji-sun Park.
Exactly.
You know, you can't have a squad of 25 players with 25 superstars. That doesn't work. And we've seen it throughout this season. The reason we have the League Cup in the bag already is Taki Minamino and Divock Origi, Curtis Jones. Those players are the reason why we have one cup in the bag already. It's one of those. Look, there's going to be players that people like and players that people don't. I get that. But he did his job. He did okay tonight. He wasn't outstanding. He wasn't muck. We've seen muck. He wasn't either. He was all right.
I mean, at the end of the day, at the moment, and I know he's come back from an injury, but he's keeping Harvey Elliott out of the squad. And look, we all know how talented Harvey Elliott is.
Yeah.
Harvey Elliott's getting nowhere near the squad. And we know he's fit.
Yeah.
So... again, he's a youngster who's learning.
He was on the bench for the Champions League.
I think so, yeah. But I think it's because you have a bigger bench.
You have the extra space, yeah.
Which I was going to get. I mean, look, he's getting in ahead of Chamberlain. I mean, I think the writing's on the wall for poor Alex. I think he's gone in the summer.
Yeah, I think Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain has fallen into the same issues that Adam Lallana had. A very good player, but the team has evolved. While he wasn't available. Yeah. And when we needed him, he wasn't there. It's not his fault. His body let him down at the wrong time.
Yeah.
And I think he'll go away to a club in the middle of the table and he will do an absolutely brilliant job for someone, a Southampton, a Brighton, a West Ham maybe. There's going to be sides out there, an Aston Villa, who will look at Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and he will do well somewhere. And best of luck to the kid.
I think sometimes as a fan, we should get away from this. Every player is shit. Because sometimes you go, maybe not quite the level we want for Liverpool. Doesn't mean a player is shit. You know, because they're still going to end up playing for... I see Chamberlain playing for a Europa League title. I think West Ham is actually probably a really good shout for him. I think that'd suit him. You know, because I think it's what they need. They need more goals from midfield. And I think if you keep Chamberlain fit, that's what he's good for.
Yeah.
So, But, you know, look, here we are.
I mean, so, if you were going to be picking tonight, who would be your, I would say man of the match, but who's your man of the match and who's your honourable mention?
Probably going to give it, man of the match, Sky gave it to Sadio. And look, I can't really argue against giving it to Sadio because he scored the winner and he's just, I just can't help but love Sadio. The honourable mentions were, I'd say Henderson. I thought Henderson did really well when he came on, calmed things down. And I would actually say Trent, Matip and Van Dijk, I thought all did well in the last half an hour defensively, which I think is when he got stuff. Kostas, I thought was good going forward. I think you see the difference why Kostas doesn't play as regularly as I still think defensively he's got areas to improve. But look, all players have that. That's why he's the backup left back and not the main left back. But as a fill-in left back, can't argue. So I think there was, someone said Ali. How can you not mention Ali?
Chris Goulding in the chat, Alisson. Alisson was great tonight.
I think Alisson's getting to that Van Dijk territory where he's brilliant, but he's always brilliant, so you don't mention it.
Yeah.
I'm doing a disservice.
Virgil was good. I thought Virgil was good. His distribution was good tonight. I thought Joel Matip was brilliant. You know what I mean? Love Joel Matip. I love his mazy runs. And I keep saying, it's going to cost us. But how many goals has he created? And how many chances has he created by being the extra man, by making that kind of a run that draws players, that creates space? I'd actually give Sadio, I'd give Sadio the honourable mention because he was excellent. But I think Joel Matip for me was man of the match tonight. From the goal, I just thought he was really, really good. I love his performances anyway. But I was really
Listen, you hope Liverpool can sort him Salah and his contract out because I think him as a number nine. That's his position.
That is,
he gets the best out of him. And I think he gets the best out of Diaz and Mo as well. I think it fits them perfectly. Unfortunately, at the moment, the odd one out a little bit is Jota. But look, I think a lot's been said about Jota, probably a bit too much, is the lad's still the second highest goal scorer in the team. And we've always argued for ages, we need something different.
I think Diogo Jota is going to be one of those streaky goal scorers.
Yeah.
Now, when he gets on a run, you just ride that until the run ends. Because I think he's gonna get streaks of games, 10-20 games in the season where he's just gonna go bang, 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 bang.
Yeah. And MC13, Thiago was a good
shot. Thiago coming into games like that, people expect him to be able to get his foot on the ball and just hold possession, what have you, but he doesn't. What he does is he'll take the risk of trying to get a third while ensuring you're safe enough.
Yeah.
You know, side of his game, plus he will take that risky pass.
I mean, we'll talk about the 8 draws we've had this year. In quite a lot of those draws, Thiago hasn't played. And I think maybe that's what we've missed is the last half hour to throw him on in certain games. Mm. Just a killer game, because he's very good at doing that in an understated way. He's also very good now at not giving his fouls away or not getting caught for them, to be fair.
Why am I seeing that name being chucked into the chat a few times now? What are you guys chatting about? Fraser Farsley, revise Everton and Man United strike force, Brett Angel and Terry Gibson. What's all that about? What's going on? There's definitely something you guys are chatting about in there, and I've just seen Brett Angel's name chatted up there a couple of times tonight.
Oh, weird. I know. They don't tell us what they're chatting about, do they?
No, they just rub it on and go in different directions, and what have you. Ben Flanagan there. Thiago plays better with both feet than most of the league players with one. Yeah, he's a nuts player, isn't he? He done that again tonight, not with the no-look pass, but he looks one way and he just slips someone in, and it nearly worked from Mo. Nearly had a goal when he first came on. You know, if it wasn't just for
courses.
If it wasn't for a heavy touch with Salah,
the only thing he does, which is brilliant, but it's sort of randomly annoying for me, is he just does a random step over when he gets the ball for no reason. Just gets the ball, just does a step over, and still goes the same direction. He just like throws it in for the fun of it. But he's great to watch. I mean,
look, we're not going to keep you guys too much longer. I mean, we all got work to get to in the morning.
Yeah, we've got work to get to. So, no midweek fix, midweek fix tomorrow. So keep an eye on Twitter. I actually know who the lineup is for midweek. Thursday, we're having... Thursday. We're having a night off, but keep your eyes peeled because there should be a women's show coming out on Thursday. So myself, Neil Atkinson and Philippa Smallwood did a review of how the league went, really. You know, it was a bit of a loving of how great Liverpool women were and talking about plans for the WSL. This is before we heard the players who've recently been released. So give it a watch, you know, give it a share and, you know, please, you know, leave your comments because, you know, the only way I can improve the show, I can improve the women's show for next year is you let me know what you want to add to it. The Friday, it's me and you, Kev, because Luke's abandoned us.
Luke has gone off to have a social life. He's going to Bellator on the weekend, a lucky swing.
We should probably try and find a guest, shouldn't we?
We'll see if we can sort something out. Daniel McCarthy asking, why was Salah so angry coming on, shaking his head? He didn't look happy. I didn't notice, to be honest.
He didn't look happy. He didn't look happy that I think that Thiago came on before him. But I mean, he's a player who wants to play. So
yeah. I'm not worried about Mo. I mean, the thing is, someone was saying at the start of the year, we have 5 games in 18 days on the back of a massively intense April and May. You can't play every game, and with the best will in the world, you have to protect players from themselves at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what? And they're talking about Raul Jimenez appreciation show after tomorrow's result. Hopefully.
Well, we might do, yeah. North London Derby, where is it? Is it Arsenal? Or is that Spurs?
It's Thursday night. I'm really looking forward to it. I think... Is it at Arsenal?
It's at Spurs.
It's at Spurs. Do you know what? If I was Arsenal, I would literally turn around and say to, you know, I would do to Tottenham what Tottenham do to everyone else. Here, have the ball.
Which I thought they like to do.
Yeah. And Arsenal are well capable of sitting, but they've done it to us. You know, they could quite comfortably sit back in two banks of four and play on the break. I just say, here, have the ball. You come and break us now.
I'm going for 2-2.
I think it'll be a draw.
They're normally high scoring games. 1-1. They are normally high scoring games. Well, no, that's why I like watching them because they're normally mad games.
Yeah,
normally.
Laura's spot on. Laura's saying that Spurs do not like having the ball. But give them the ball. Spurs have to win. Do you know what I mean? They have to win.
Because Spurs don't win. Arsenal only need one win from the last two games.
Look at we got a draw against Liverpool trophy at the end of 38 games.
And don't forget, they got points of City as well, which they're very happy about.
Yeah, they're very pleased about that.
But Spurs is... I mean, and look, a lot got upset with Klopp's comments, but he had a point in terms of that style of thought. It does work against top six sides because Liverpool, City, United, Arsenal, they want the ball more. So it works for counter-attacking. But when you play sides below that, you say, "Oh, we're gonna leave you the ball." The likes of Brighton and that's going on. We saw with Brentford. Brentford went, "Oh, give you the ball back," and they struggled. And I think that's the evolution they're gonna struggle with. I'm just seeing who Arsenal's next go with. They've got Everton on the last game of the season, which you know.
I think Everton will be safe by then.
They've got Newcastle away.
I couldn't believe how bad Newcastle were. I mean, they were bad against us, but I couldn't believe how poor they were against City, where they literally just folded. Their heads, they just gave up.
And you know, Tottenham's remaining games are Burnley at home, which they should, I think Burnley might have hit a wall. But and their last game of the season, Tottenham are, I'm just trying to find them actually. Yeah, I think our last game of the season, Tottenham. Oh, away at Norwich. So Tottenham. So you've got to think Tottenham got sick. So this basically, I think for Arsenal, they got a draw.
I think a draw in Arsenal or home and hose into fourth,
which is a big
Chelsea don't want to get season. Drawn into that conversation. But
no,
this is where I think Spurs will really regret that Højbjerg miss against us at the death.
Because you're also seeing the issue they had. Was it Brentford and Norwich? I don't think they even had a shot on target, did they?
Yeah.
And that's what hurt them. So
no, it'll be, I mean, it's a great week of football now. You've got City tomorrow night. We're going to be watching that. We'll all be glued to it. Nobody's, you know, Thursday night, North London Derby, great game.
Friday night,
you're coming in for us with us where we're going to review the cup, and try to pick an 11 to go through that.
I think now with the Fabinho, that makes it probably a bit easier.
Look, go home, go away to bed.
Go on, that's spoken.
Yeah, go away to bed and enjoy the win. Go and have a beer and enjoy yourselves.
Cheers for watching and keep your eyes peeled. There'll be more of us in the next couple of days. See you later.
Cheers, guys. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.